It's August the 21st, 2016, and I feel so honored and privileged to be here, conveying to you the blessings of Christ. This is what we do every Sunday, and it is such a blessing to the lives of so many. I just want you to appreciate how much the collateral benefit of you receiving a blessing means to those around you. There are so many in this world who don't even believe in prayer anymore. They never pray. Maybe they believe in God, but they think of God as someone far off, directing abstract and general trends of existence and consequence, and probably not having any attention on them at all. But that's not just a belief that happens today. It happened in the life of Christ. So many came to him with thoughts that, well, maybe God is just the figurehead of doctrine, just an abstract presence that maybe created the universe originally, but doesn't know any of us. And his answer was, not even a sparrow can fall to this earth if he doesn't see it and care. And then he went on to talk about how we really, in so many ways, are helpless to change our life. We can't change the hairs on our head. Well, actually, today we can more than we could then, thanks to Miss Clairol and another, and the hair club. But I think you get the idea. But God has numbered every one of them. God knows every cell in our body. God has counted our every prayer, our every wish, our every heartache, our every joy. And we might think, well, if God is looking at my heartaches, then why does he let me have them? That's a very good question. And I'm not sure anyone has ever satisfactorily answered it. Except that we have to discover within ourselves the presence of God that banishes those heartaches and those hardships. We are not just one person. We are, each of us, many persons. Each of us. And I'm not just talking about ego or identities. We play different roles in life. We have different ideas about ourselves and our abilities in different things that we do. For example, with me, I have a sense of joy and confidence in front of the artist easel that never goes away despite whatever problems I confront. And believe me, there's never been a painting, with the one exception of The Lamb and the Lion, that did not have abundant problems. And yet I faced every single problem with joy and confidence that somehow I could walk through the jungle and find the clearing on the other side. And I usually did. I can't say I never lost my temper or my faith. I tore up a few paintings. A few of them did land in the garbage can. And I think it was a decision I made that my time and effort was better spent on starting a new one and starting all over again. And sometimes that really is the right decision with some things in our life. And over again, we get to make these choices. These choices are part of our challenge to discover who we are. But even though I feel great joy and confidence and ability as an artist, I've learned through the years that even that is not who I really am. It's just something I chose for making a contribution into this world. It's an ability I had that allowed me to spend my time in positive personal development and creations that I could share with other people. But even so, it's not really who I am. I'm more than that. And constantly, I'm brought to discover that person that is more than that. And yes, when I painted The Lamb and the Lion, that was a moment of great transition for me from thinking of myself as an artist to starting to think of myself as someone who could actually have conversations with God, with Yeshua, with life on a larger, grander scale, and find within myself something that was capable of asking good questions and understanding the answers with a fair amount of good sense, then applying these answers to life. So my understanding of myself grew. But I wasn't yet confident enough for about 4 years to tell anyone that I had had these conversations. And the simple reason was I was afraid. What if somebody asked me about more than I knew, about more than I had thought to ask him? Because surely you would have had different questions than I had. And surely you would have had different life applications than I had. So I wasn't confident to tell anybody that I had these conversations until he came and asked me to do it. And I had to summons a great deal of courage to speak up. And the interesting thing is that nobody asked of me to be anything more than just who I was. That was my first real lesson in this life of genuine humility. You know, I think most of the time we really confuse humility with self-deprecation or humility with self-unworthiness. Our humility with feeling that we're not up to something. We bow down before the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, I am so not worthy of this. Can you please help me?" And you know something? He doesn't really like that. Because you've made yourself less than you are. But when you're able to say, "I'm enough, though I don't know it all, though I'm not able to do it all, though I can't help everyone, somehow, in this moment in time, being where I am, doing what I'm doing, I've got to be enough, or else God wouldn't have put me here." And that's genuine humility. When you can just have the courage to be who you are and look at somebody else eye to eye and smile and say hello and give them the confidence to be who they are. We don't have to be grandiose about it. We don't have to be unworthy about it. We just simply are who we are. And it's enough. I'm not exactly sure how I got on this talk right now, but I know so well that I want to give you some deep insights of my heart. I was in a very, very deep state of prayer before this, before the seminar opened. And I was asking for God's help to help someone I love very, very much that is in a great deal of trouble. And I felt unable to help. No matter what I did, I just simply couldn't help. And I didn't even know if my prayers were enough. And I started to cry, just a little. And I felt God say, it's okay. That's my job. We try so hard sometimes to make a difference in the lives of the people we care about. We try so hard to make our own lives into something so much better than they can be. We do our best. And at the end of the day, it's really lovely just to sit in prayer and let God be with us, to hold our hand and say, I'm proud of you. You did well enough. You did all you could. I'll take it from here. And then we look around, and sometimes we don't see the results that we thought were necessary. But this is when we have to have faith that we're in the hands of someone who really knows what to do and how to do it. There's such a bigger plan than any of us can see. Such a grander prospect for the progress and the evolution of life than any of us can see. But if we can each receive a blessing each day in our life, it radiates out to the world as each one of us becomes a little bigger, a little happier, a little more well, a little more successful. We feel the presence of God with us. And we become a channel or a conduit, if you will, for those who don't have the faith that we have. We become a point of connection. And that's what I really cherish about Sundays and being here for you, is being a point of connection and knowing that God will be present in you and he and you will take it from there. And then from you to others, he will take it from there. All we need is that precious, loving, caring, devoted, prayerful connection. And God takes it from there. I want to take a call or two now, and I see Gina's on the phone. Hi, Gina. You're on.
Linda?
Yes.
Hi. First of all, I was just going to ask I don't know if it's a silly question, but I noticed that you're feeling a little melancholy today, so I just want to tell you that I love you and appreciate everything that you do for all of us.
Oh, thank you. Well, actually, sometimes melancholy is its own form of joy because it means we're reaching into the heart of other people that are that way. I'm doing fine, by the way.
Everybody. Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm just being in this place of compassion right now, and it feels like the right place to be.
Well, it sounds beautiful. I would just wanted to let you know that. The question I had, and I don't know if everybody's feeling like this, and I don't know if you have any insight, but it just seems that it seems like time is moving so fast, and it's more so than it ever has been. I know that everybody's busy, and I've been busy. I went back to school, and you know, so I don't know if it's that. I mean, do you have any insight or what that might mean?
It's the rate of change. Time is nothing other than the rate of change, Gina. I mean, if you really get down to what time is in physics, it is the effects, perception, and consequences of change. You see, time and energy are completely factored together, and change is produced by energy and generates more energy. So as we have more energy and more connections occurring in this world, time will literally move faster.
Well, that's great. That sounds good.
Yeah. So what the way we turn it to our benefit, instead of feeling like a bulldozer's running over us or we're in the middle of a high traffic lane and about to be run over, which sometimes it's easy to feel, the way we make it work for us is we look for opportunities that are coming our way that weren't there yesterday. Change is happening so quickly. Don't ever think that because a certain opportunity wasn't there for you 2 weeks ago that it's not there for you today. Take a new look. And this goes for everything from new friends to new modalities of healing to new explanations of life to new business opportunities to new potential clients to new trends in thinking that you could become part of. So many changes are happening. Take a look again every day. Be like the little bird that turns the eggs every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. So I really appreciate that. And so to me, it's a good thing. It's very positive. So thank you.
You're welcome. And we've got, I don't always get a caller ID on the call. So sometimes I have to just go with area codes. So we've got a caller from area code 804. And you're on. Your line is open. Hi.
Glenda?
Yes.
Hi, this is Brad Nelson.
Hi, Brad.
It's good to hear your voice. I'm calling about a friend named Margaret. She's kind of elderly. She uses a walker, and she has to move, and she's feeling vulnerable about that move and about getting help moving. And I guess what's even making her more nervous right now is that tomorrow she actually has a court date. Her landlord is trying to evict her, and that's a long, confusing story. But she's a beautiful lady, and she needs some peace, and she needs some help. And of course, I'm going to help her. And this is going to be self-deprecating to me. I know you don't like that, but in a way, it's a right-handed compliment. She told me today when I let her out of the car that I was a blessing to her. I'm actually helping her with her phone. I am not hardly the least bit technological, but she's got a new phone. She doesn't even know how to check her voicemail. So I'm getting her phone set up for her. Tomorrow she has a court date, and she needs help moving, and she needs peace. And so I would like a blessing for Margaret.
Oh, you've got it. And I don't see anything in what you said that was self-deprecating, Brad. You were just being humble and loving and appreciating.
Thank you, Glenda.
You're so welcome, and thank you for your love and your compassion to Margaret. And we will most certainly remember her in our prayers and our blessing.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And we have someone from area code 832, and you're on. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. This is Kathleen Knight from Houston.
Hey, Kathleen. It's so good to hear from you.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to let you know I'm feeling a whole lot better since the last time we talked. Healing is spring for the cancer, and I know I'm going to have a complete and total healing. And
I know you
life,
will too.
Oh, yeah. I just don't have a question about that. But I've been watching the Olympics along with billions of other people. And I had this wild idea that to ask Yeshua what he feels and thinks about the event of an Olympics, and what is that in terms of our human development, and I just wanted to get his opinion about that, because it's a striving for excellence, I know, and mm-hmm. the things that people can do with their bodies is simply beyond belief. I don't know how mm-hmm. these gymnasts hurl themselves up into the air and defy gravity and land on their feet. That already is astounding to me. The accomplishment and the endurance of the marathon runners and the skills that they train for and the amount of discipline and focus that all takes to me is just wonderful.
Kathleen, I think you just answered your
answered my own question.
What is not wonderful about discovering our courage, our faith, and our excellence in living?
Yes. Well, if they get the gold medals, okay, I think my concern is, after they go through all of this and there's I got a gold medal in the Olympics, or I got 23 or whatever, how many gold medals are possible. And then sometimes they have a problem afterwards. They say, well, how can I ever top this, right? What do I do afterwards? And what has that got to do with our continuing spiritual evolution?
Well, Kathleen, those are two completely different subjects.
I'm sorry.
Completely different subjects, because we have achievements in every area of human excellence and striving. Not just athletics, but in everything we have we have achievement. And then the next level is translating that achievement as a human being into a greater achievement as a soul.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. And I look at people who've made great achievements in business. For example, Sam Walton of Walmart. Okay. He made a phenomenal achievement in business. But all the time he was doing it, he was also thinking about human contributions. And then he left many charities and many legacies to human assistance, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
on top of all of that, his whole life he drove a pickup truck. He was never a limousine man. And he taught his children to deal with life on a reality level where people really live, so they could always be in touch with reality, always be in touch with human needs. And so, Kathleen, you actually asked two completely unrelated questions. The Olympics are a demonstration of human excellence, and, of course, that's to be applauded and admired and everything that goes into it. But mm-hmm. then, second question, mm-hmm. is no matter what we achieve in the human physical material realm, the next step, obviously, is to translate it, or hopefully, maybe it's not so obvious to some people, but hopefully, to translate it into emotional, psychological, and spiritual achievement. So the key is not to stop with a particular achievement on Earth. For young people, this can be a little bit more of a challenge, simply because the achievement is so enormous and they are so young.
Yeah.
So I can see your concern for this being a little bit more of an issue with the Olympics.
Yes.
But it's not true with all. It's only occasionally a problem. And there have been some cases where it did lead to major depression and major loss of self-worth in life. But that's a whole other
yeah.
subject, and we pray for them. We pray for them that they go on and translate these achievements into something far greater.
And I love what you said about the Walmart person that turned it into service and
yeah.
helping so many people, and they're in a really great position. Not that we all aren't in a position of service, but they could serve a greater whole because of what they are and who, and we know who they are in the world. They have become, you know,
yeah,
celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all got our little issues with Walmart, but overall, they
yeah.
were founded on really, really good principles, because
yes.
Before Sam Walton started what he was doing, there were only the real five and dime stores that
yes.
handled extremely cheap items that didn't make anybody's life much better.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the idea of shopping the world and buying merchandise that would assist the middle class person, the working class person, actually have better products for a better quality of life at a price they could afford to help them handle their economic situation. So it was all started on good values.
Yes,
and he perpetuated those good values. So, Kathleen, you know, it's like anything, whether it's the Olympics or whether it's business. It all comes down to the values that we place on what we do.
I love it.
There are, you know, there are people even in the spiritual and religious fields that have not necessarily done it for the holiest of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those who have given their life to serve God.
Yes.
So everything is its own unique possibility. And we are so thankful for anyone who steps up to serve in any area of life, looking to build the bridges from the material world all the way up to heaven and to move on. And we do that with the establishment of good values. That's where it all begins. So I'm going to take, we've got time for a couple more. Oh, we don't really. But I'm going to take them anyway. Susan, can you be quick?
Hi
Susan,
Glenda.
You're on.
Oh, thanks. You know, I went to a baby shower for my son whose wife is pregnant and will be giving birth in October. And my best friend was there because she was invited. And we were talking, and I don't know how we got to the subject of you. And I was saying to her because I wanted her to see my new paintings that I got from you. And I was saying that you had said something about not writing that book, and you know the book that you're most famous for. And basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, you asked the right questions, and the answers came from Yeshua, and
mm-hmm.
So that So I said to her, which I, at the time when I heard you say that, I didn't say this because you were just talking, but I said to my friend, I said, you know, it's really important to know the right questions to ask. And I'm saying this to her. I said, I don't think that I, you know, when, that I know the right questions, that I would have known the right questions to ask. So I had this whole conversation with her about just about that. And then of course, when you started this conversation, you were talking, you know, somewhere in the very beginning, you were talking about, you know, asking questions. I don't remember now. There's so many things that happened in the middle of, you know, and other people speaking. But I just chuckled because somehow it related to what you first started talking about at the beginning of this call. And I said to her, gee, he picked the right person there because I don't think I would have had enough questions to ask, and certainly not necessarily the right ones. And I in this whole conversation with her, and then I don't remember how you started this, but it had something to do with asking the right questions, and I laughed because that was the conversation this afternoon with my best friend.
Oh, that's great. That's great, Susan.
And actually, Susan, it's so true. It's just like the comment I made back to Kathleen. I said, well, you just answered your own question. The fact is, when we ask the right question in the right way, the question becomes the answer. There's a total seamless transition between the question and the answer when the question is asked in a direct and poignant way. It reveals the answer. So actually, many times, the best thing to do in life is not to look for the answers, but to look for the question.
Right.
So that was great. Thank you, Susan. As always, bring up good thoughts. And I'm going to take a very, very quick question from Julie because you've been hanging on. Maybe you want to ask for a blessing for someone. Okay? Your line is on, honey.
Hi, Glenda. Thank you. I was just going to make a comment. When Brad was sharing, it reminded me of something I saw on TV today by a Messianic rabbi. He has a show called The Jewish Jesus, and I just caught the briefest piece of it, and he was saying that as we begin to grow spiritually, there becomes a time where we have to give if we want to continue to grow spiritually. And
exactly.
You know, kind of makes me think of like the cup runneth over, and you have to kind of let the cup runneth over. And that's what it reminded me that he's doing. And then of course we had another question about giving and sharing and growing, and then also reminded me of Jesus saying, as you do this to the least of them, you also do this to me.
Exactly. Well, Julie, that's so true, because the higher we climb on the ladder from our physical incarnate self to the soul, the spirit becomes more and more charitable. And in order to bring the soul more into our life, to bring the Holy Spirit more into our life, to bring Yeshua more in, to bring God and the grace of God more into our life, charity is exactly what does it. Because it's the act of charity that makes us bigger. You know, we think of when we're living in a very limited definition of life, we think by giving something away, we've sliced the cheesecake up into 8 slices. We give away 2 slices. Now we've only got 6. That's the way we think. So much of life is. But the spirit is more like fire. You give fire to someone else, and now 2 people have fire. You give it to 3 or 4 people, now 6 people have fire. Now, what that means is that if something should happen and you would lose your fire, somebody else has it to give back to you. You see, this is the way it is with love. The more love you give, the more love there is. The more love comes back to you. The more truth you give, the more truth abounds in the world, in life, among us, and between us. The more connections we develop in life, the more connections there are for us. So as we move into the realm of spirit, the more we are, well,
I think it's kind of fun to say it's playing with fire because it really is. The more light you give, the more light there is. And it's like that with all things of the spirit, all things of the heart, all things of the soul. And as we give, we receive. The more we give, the more we receive. And you have to try it to discover it. But God's universe is like a bank account. You're not going to make a withdrawal until you make a deposit. And even though there is an infinite abundance in this world, we go around hungry. Literally, we go around hungry and starving because we're looking at what's not on our plate. And then we're worried about how we're going to get something on our plate when the real answer is to put something on someone else's plate. So let's do that now. Let's hold in our life and our heart the love we have for everyone in our life. Let's share. Let's give. Let's give light, life, love, fire, the grace of God, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit. Let's give our heart and soul into our own life and into the life of others. As we give outwardly, what happens is we create a vacuum that infills with the Holy Spirit, that infills with the love of Christ, that infills with the grace of God. So let's begin our blessing. And I will start with my prayer to Yeshua, after which the blessing givers and I will offer a blessing, and you will be in your own prayer, remembering those you most love, you most care about, that you most want to offer a blessing to, and yourself, the things you need, the things you want, the values you have, the help you need, the strength you need, the curing and the healing you need, the love you need. So let us begin. Yeshua, we ask you today to reassure us of our infinite capacity to be children of God and the presence of God on earth, never wondering about how our plate will be filled, but how we will fill the plates of others. Loving first, and then receiving love in return. Smiling first, and then delighting in the smiles that come back to us. We thank you for your love, for the healing you bring us, for the assurance that you bring us, for the presence of the Holy Spirit with which you fill us and make us strong. We thank you for walking beside us and giving us a direct personal access to the grace of God, that we may know ourselves as being worthy to walk in the presence of God, to ask the questions we most want answers to, knowing that the question is the beginning of every answer. The gift is the beginning of everything we receive. The courage is the beginning of everything we achieve. We thank you again, and now, as always, for everything. Amen. Let us begin. Your blessing has been given. Now go in peace. Rest. Lie still and quiet for at least 7 minutes. Allow yourself to receive the blessings unconditionally, without expectation, without limitation, without imposing any ideas. Don't even continue your prayers. Just be. Allow yourself to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of Yeshua, in the presence of the grace of God, and rest and receive the gift. Bye-bye for now. And I look so forward to being with you next week.